There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Ahead on NFL Live, is there potential trouble in paradise? The Patriots offense continues to struggle, but are we overreacting given this team is 10-2? Hear what Tom Brady has to say. The marquee matchup from week 13, clearly the Ravens and 49ers. The question today, were we watching a Super Bowl preview? And one more game to go with playoff implications aplenty. We'll have a live report from Seattle as the Seahawks get set for the Vikings. Happy to have you with us this afternoon. I'm Wendy Nix, Chris Mortensen, Ryan Clark, Tim Hasselbeck, our usual Monday crew. Just a short time ago, we have some quarterback news. Head coach Doug Marrone announces Minshew Mania is back. Gardner Minshew will start week 14 in place of Nick Foles. Foles, if you remember, signed a four-year deal, $88 million worth with the Jags in the offseason, over $50 million of which was guaranteed. But at this point, the Jags have decided their best chance of winning is Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, and, you know, the Jaguars' week started off very uniquely with Tom Coughlin, the executive vice president of football operations, actually addressing the media instead of Doug Marrone. And he said so, Tom said so, because you guys hear from Doug all the time, and he went on to make an appeal to a lot of different elements, including the media. Get behind us. We need the energy. And the fan base, we need the energy. Well, yesterday, one thing that was clear is that the Jaguars had no energy, and that's something Gardner Minshew has always provided since he took over for Nick Foles in week one before getting benched again.
You can understand the decision, but I think you also have to feel for Nick Foles. Look, he's well compensated, but he comes to a new team, a fresh start, gets his own team finally, gets injured, comes back, hasn't looked the same, Ryan, but you can't blame the Jags either.
Well, no, you absolutely cannot blame the Jaguars. And, you know, I think Nick Foles seems to be a nice guy, but I also don't feel bad for him. This is the sport, but this is the opportunity that he got himself and he earned because of his play in Philadelphia. And now we're seeing that he probably isn't the right guy for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Gardner Minshew does provide energy. He does give this team a certain spark from a standpoint that they feel hope. They feel like they can move the ball with him. But now if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, where do you go from here? You make this decision. You have this money locked up into Nick Foles. Are you saying now we're through with the Nick Foles era and moving on as Gardner Minshew as our franchise quarterback?
I think that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do. And unless there's that's what they're doing. Unless there's a coaching change, I don't know how you go back.
It's a pretty significant, easy take, unless it's probably going to happen. They were 4-4. They're now 4-8. I don't think Doug Marrone probably is optimistic about his chances going forward.
Right.
And maybe that's why they're doing it, is it's that there is, because of Minshew's mobility, is maybe they feel like that's what they need, and that generates a little bit of a spark. Maybe that's what they feel like they need. But unless there's a coaching change, like, I don't know, like, you, it sounds crazy, but it's like this broken trust now. Like, you signed, like, Nick Foles, you know, was a guy that there could have been more than one landing spot for him. He ends up going to Jacksonville thinking that'll be a good fit. He gets hurt. You know, and his backup, who he probably supported well, plays fairly well. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, two games coming back, being in. And by the way, you know, it doesn't go great. And now all of a sudden they yank you. So, like, if you're Nick Foles, who has plenty of experience in the NFL and different teams and some good and some bad,
you know,
I just think it changes the whole dynamic.
The other huge piece to this is, if Nick Foles comes over and he's not necessarily playing well, and the Jacksonville Jaguars aren't either, but he's not hurt, it's just the season isn't going well, some things are happening, you probably don't replace him with Gardner Minshew. But having an opportunity to see the teams with each quarterback and have that actual on-field comparison, it makes this decision a little bit easier. And I also believe, no matter how much Nick Foles is liked in the locker room, those other players on the team see it as well. They see that they play much better. They see their energy, and those things matter.
Here's what I would say and why I think this is a really dangerous move. Okay? Mm. Gardner Minshew there's been times where it's looked good, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he is physically limited as a quarterback.
Which is why they went back to Nick Foles.
Okay, and so the reality is he's not a long-term answer to be the franchise quarterback. He's just not. physically. Mm-hmm. And so it's very hard to build around something like that, right? So I would start there. With Nick Foles, you can definitely say that he hasn't played as well as they want him to have wanted him to play. The reality is, though, is that he has proved that he has the physical tools and has played as, you know, played as well as you need to play to win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. There are very few people that are walking on the planet that have done that. I think when you make a move from a guy that has proved he can do that, you better be really sure that the guy you're replacing him with can be a star and be your franchise quarterback.
But you contend that he's not, which in your estimation would make this curious?
Well, I just... Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One,
okay. And I think that maybe it's
that's
because
fair,
there's a coach that I think is desperate.
You go ahead, Mark.
Well, I was just saying, we've talked about this before. Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, gave Nick Foles this $88 million four-year contract because 2 years ago, they were in the AFC Championship game against the Patriots, ready to advance to the Super Bowl. They fell short, and he has a guy who's won a Super Bowl, and therefore... He had high expectations, which is why I say the writing probably is on the wall for Doug Marone, which means who knows what it means going forward.
Which means all bets are off.
But I feel like this is always a question with Nick Foles, right? Like we spoke about, he had obviously the 27 TD, two interception year with the Philadelphia Eagles. And then the next year, he's not as good. He goes to the Rams. We don't see him play as well as we saw him play the 1 year in Philadelphia. And then in spot duty and backup duty, he wins the Super Bowl and he becomes the Super Bowl MVP. But we didn't see him play an entire season there as well. And so I think you've always been playing double dutch with how you feel about Nick Foles. And then when you have a young rookie quarterback outplay him, it still makes it brings up some of the things in your mind. And you start to say, see, we had some of these questions. We weren't 100% sold. And now here we go.
I'm glad you said double dutch because Mort and I really identified.
Oh, yes.
double dutch. I bet you're pretty good at double dutch. Look,
you know
anyway,
what, you know
look
what that
at
is?
It.
What's that?
Double dutch?
Yeah, he knows double dutch.
Okay. I can double dutch.
You know, we've got a jump rope out here. We'll take care of this in a little bit. Listen, any way you look at it, this is likely just the first of quite a few changes that are in store for Jacksonville. Gardner Minshew, though, will start week 14, that's next week, against the Chargers. It was just last week that Tom Brady said he was frustrated with the Patriots' offense, and another week brought more of the same for the future Hall of Famer. After kicking a field goal in the opening drive, the Patriots had just 8 first downs over their over the ensuing scoreless possessions. Here is Tom Brady on WEEI this morning.
We're learning as we go. By no means is we're not 2-10. We're 10-2. And I know there's very high expectations. And the expectations for our team often are a very, very, very high level. And I understand that. But at the same time, I think there's realistic expectations with our circumstances and incorporating different elements and players and injuries. You know, quarterback's responsibility is to try to lead and motivate. And, you know, we're often the voice of, you know, a lot of situations. We're trying to motivate people and get people to play their best. And guys are trying. The team's faced some unique situations in and of itself. You know, just like every team has, we're not any different than any team. But at the same time, we're in a decent position here. And now we got to go try to beat a great football team at home.
Well, it is Overreaction Monday, and this sets us up well. I'll say this. The Patriots' offense is actually a real problem. Tim, is that an overreaction?
It is an overreaction. I feel like this is like an Aaron Rodgers have a scotch and relax moment a little bit.
R-E-L-E-X.
Yeah, yes. Good spelling.
I don't really spell that well.
Look, worked on it.
Are they playing their best football right now? No, but they seem to always figure it out. They've been creative at generating offense. I think they are kind of sorting through some wide receivers. And, you know, the reality is with all of that, there's still the fifth best scoring offense in the National Football League.
Right, are you going by total points?
I'm going
with the offense points or defense or special team points?
Total points.
Yeah, which is how you win games.
How you win football games.
You score points usually more than
the
other team.
I knew that he was coming there.
So when I look at it and I say, they're good on special teams, they're good defense, and I think they have the best quarterback of all time.
Yes,
and
I agree with
they have
that.
A very good coach. And I think they still have good enough players that they'll figure it out. I don't think it's a real problem just yet.
Just a problem, not a real problem.
It might be a little bit of a problem. Might
Many
be like a.
I agree.
Might be a blemish.
I agree with a lot of the things that Tim said, except for the actual answer to this question.
It's like showing your work in those math equations.
Absolutely,
you got to get it right and show your work.
This is not an overreaction, and I think it's because of what Tom Brady said this morning. The expectations are very high for this team. The expectations for the New England Patriots are different than they are for the rest of the world. It's a bar that they have set. The expectations for this team's this team is, can you win a Super Bowl? And can this offense win a Super Bowl? Can this offense win a game that its defense doesn't win them? Two times the offense has need to come up with plays to win games this season. That would be against the Baltimore Ravens when the defense couldn't pitch a shutout or keep them under 14 points. And also now the Houston Texans where the defense couldn't keep them under 14 points as well. Both times they lose those games. And you are correct. They are 10-2 because in the 10 games that they've won, the defense has been lights out. The special teams has made big plays. And so this offense right now, not being able to create, not having a actual reliable threat outside the numbers is a very real issue, especially when you look at this team and see that the offensive line also isn't creating opportunities for the run game to be great.
It's not an overreaction. And if I were a lawyer, I'd say I only need one witness, but I would offer some video evidence, too.
All right.
You could look at last night's game alone. Even though the numbers say Tom Brady threw for 300 yards or whatever it was, right? You look at the frustration of Tom Brady. He's telling you, or his radio appearances, or the video
evidence. That's been for weeks, too, though, Mort. He's been having this kind of
bad. Exactly. Third straight week, saying, I think he's been pretty
He talks about the misery that he's in. And listen, I get it because he's always had these guys that he knew he could count on being in the right place at the right time. Julian Edelman's still there, but you know what? He's physically not quite the same guy. Something's going on with him. And so, therefore, who did he really want? Antonio Brown. We all know he was upset and others upset when they decided to cut loose Antonio Brown because that was going to be their go-to guy. Mm-hmm. And we don't think they're signing him again, by the way.
So, by the way, for the record, just so we can mark this point, Ryan and Mort buried the Patriots in their
own. No.
I did not. So,
Ryan Clark is saying the New England Patriots offense is not very good. And that is absolutely correct.
Also, Tim is a troublemaker. Those are two things that are also true.
That was the question. It was about the offense. Now, yeah, they're 10-2. And if they went to the Super Bowl again, would I be shocked? No.
How can you?
If they went to the Super Bowl, you probably still end up picking them because of who they are and the things.
Not if they play the 49ers.
How would we define a real problem? Do you know?
I got a few.
When we need you to score points to win the game, you cannot.
All right, listen, the best thing the Patriots have going for them right now might be the fact, now bear with me, that Alabama is out of the college football playoff picture.
Yeah, bring that up?
Yeah, here we go. Listen to this. It's an odd coincidence, but Bill Belichick and the Patriots and Nick Saban and his team have never won the championship in the same season. They've alternated titles the last 5 years, though Bama won't continue that trend this year. I know. We'll just move on for more today. Listen, Overreaction Monday continues with this. We talked about the marquee matchup. It did deliver. But I think the question today, or the overreaction today, is the Ravens 49ers was, in fact, a Super Bowl preview. Gentlemen. Well, you know what?
Who gets to go first?
There's only one gentleman
here. Let me just start with
you. Who gets to go first?
You. You can go.
I believe it's an overreaction. And not because I don't believe these two teams aren't the best two teams in each conference or the best team in each conference or that these two teams could end up in the Super Bowl. I just think that the NFC is a very difficult conference to win. When you look at some of these teams, it's possible that the San Francisco 49ers won't even win the NFC West right now.
They have to
go play against the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, the Seattle Seahawks have Minnesota tonight, but these teams will see each other at the end of this season, and that could be to see who represents the NFC West in the playoffs. And so I just think it's a treacherous role on that side of the conference. And also, even with all of that said about the New England Patriots, they are still in the AFC. Mm-hmm. They are still 10-2. The Kansas City Chiefs are finding ways to get turnovers defensively, and we know what Patrick Mahomes and that offense can be. I think these two teams have a very good chance to be Super Bowl participants? Absolutely. But to say that was a preview of what we will see, it's very difficult to say. And right now, that's an overreaction for me.
Noted. Mort?
it's not an overreaction.
The
49ers showed. First of all, I do think the Ravens are getting to the Super Bowl. So I'll put that aside. Then it comes down to this. Do I think the 49ers will get there? Yes, because what they do also travels well. even if they have to go as the wild card route. We've seen many teams go from wild card to Super Bowl. But they run the ball extremely well. Their defense is top-notch. And the only question I would actually have is Jimmy Garoppolo. And I actually thought he accounted for himself okay yesterday. So I definitely think – I don't definitely think. I believe they will be in the Super Bowl, and I believe the Ravens will be in the Super Bowl. So, therefore, my answer.
And I agree with you. I'm going to actually say not an overreaction. Look, at this point, anything can change. Lamar Jackson, if he's not totally healthy, then all of a sudden that offense would look drastically different. But everyone's having a hard time defending them. We've seen two really, really good defenses not have an answer with how to defend that run game. And then when he's asked to throw the football, he's finding completions. And so I think, you know, when you look at that, could New England beat them? Yeah, they could. But and when you look at that, and then I look at, I basically agree with Mort from the standpoint of what travels. It is true. I don't like to do it often. What travels is the ability to play great defense and run the football. And that's not going to go away for the Niners. It just, it isn't. And because of their style of defense, the teams that they will play in the NFC, I think the fact that they're so good up front matches up really well against those NFC teams.
Yeah, you know, I want to argue these things.
Are you the tiebreaker? You are, right?
It was very clear, at least to me, in my answer, which is very difficult in these situations. I had nothing negative to say about these teams, but I still think that you have to play these games out against very good teams down the stretch, and it's difficult to get to the Super Bowl.
Here's the thing that you have to consider. And I mentioned like the injury situation for Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson had 16 rush attempts, okay, in this past weekend's game. That's more rush attempts than completions that he had. Now, granted, it was raining, and that's a factor and stuff as well. But 16 rush attempts. And then you think about the times you get hit as a passer. That's a lot of hits for any position. Could be a running back. Could be a wide receiver. It's a lot of hits. In order to go to the Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl, like, you're talking about at least seven more games. You know what I mean? Like, we think we've made it pretty far because we're, you know, through week 13 now. But to keep going, you know, it's another seven games.
So you're agreeing with me now?
Well, I'm just saying that is my one concern. No, I'm just saying, like, that is my one concern about, you know what, there's this guy who comes on here and he's like, overreaction with an asterisk.
That's where you are.
I'm not calling any names. For what it's worth, Niners and Ravens now the likeliest Super Bowl matchup according to FPI, our Football Power Index. New on NFL Live from our Jets reporter Rich Cimini. Jamal Adams has a sprained ankle. He's having an MRI. Gase called it a legit week-to-week injury. So it appears the Jets may not have him on Sunday. He will not practice Wednesday. Also, Sam Darnold checked out for bruised ribs and a lingering knee injury, with Gase saying he's not concerned. Brian Poole is in the concussion protocol after being cleared of a concussion during the game. My goodness, the Jets face the Dolphins on Sunday. Now tonight, it would be the Seahawks who host the Vikings. It's Monday Night Football. Russell Wilson has been money in this spot, winning over 80% of his primetime games. On the flip side, Kirk Cousins 0-7 on Monday night. So that's the most losses without a win by any quarterback in Monday Night Football history. And there's a lot on the line. This is the most important. With playoff seeding, both teams can move into a tie for first in their respective divisions with a win, while also remaining in the hunt for a first-round bye. Lisa Salters joins us now from Seattle. And playoff implications, of course, Lisa, tonight, there's no question about that. But as the temperature, as these races heat up, Minnesota tied with Green Bay in the NFC North, how did this team find its stride after a rocky start?
Yeah, well, Wendy, it seems like a long time ago that the Vikings were 2-2, and there was internal discord. One of their top receivers was questioning the effectiveness of their passing game, and their other top wideout was reportedly wanting to be traded. But the last 2 months have proved the old adage that winning solves everything. Minnesota has won six of their last seven games, and Kirk Cousins, though not in the MVP discussion, probably should be. That receiver who wasn't happy with the passing game, Adam Thielen, he will miss his fourth game in the last five contests because of a hamstring injury. Head coach Mike Zimmer told us Thielen had a little bit of a setback with the hamstring in practice on Saturday, so they're just going to give it a little bit more time. And as for that other receiver who reportedly wanted to be traded earlier this season, Cousins will have Stephon Diggs to throw to tonight. Diggs is averaging 19 yards a catch this season, ranking him fourth in the league. Wendy.
Lisa, thank you. And certainly Thielen back is an addition for Kirk Cousins. But, Lisa's right. It's interesting to see the way Kirk Cousins has bounced back, Tim, after a difficult start and after folks were vocally criticizing the quarterback.
I think it's, one of the best things you can do as a quarterback is when you haven't played well and everybody is up against you to saying, how you're not a good player, to respond the way that Kirk Cousins has. I mean, think about it. Everyone has basically said, hey, he's not worth this contract. He wasn't good enough to be a starter in Washington. And, ultimately what he's done is he's played at a really high level, and he has his team right now playing really well. I think he's a perfect fit for what they're trying to do offensively in Minnesota right now. Gary Kubiak ending up there was probably the best thing to happen for Kirk because they run the football, and off of their run game comes all of this creative misdirection, pass plays where they get big stuff down the field. And, it means the quarterback has to turn his back to the defense. And it's something that Kirk has been doing, quite honestly, since he was playing at Michigan State, but something that he's done throughout the pros and done a very good job with. And I think it's a nice fit.
Yeah, so for me, when you see what Kirk has been doing, you have to go to the other side of the ball for the Seattle Seahawks and its improved defense. Early on in this year, the reason Russell Wilson was in the conversation for MVP was because he wasn't getting much help from his team. The running backs weren't playing well. They couldn't run the football, but definitely defensively, they were giving up too many points. You go to the San Francisco 49ers game, the Philadelphia Eagles game. This team has been turning the ball over. They've been putting pressure on the quarterback and giving the Seattle Seahawks short fields and also points. And when you can do that for a Russell Wilson-led team, you give them an opportunity to win. They'll have to be big tonight.
I can tell you that one thing that the Seahawks are concerned with is Dalvin Cook and the play action that comes off that. They're not dumb. They're aware of it. They're very aware of it. And there's some doubt there. But on the flip side of it, another way to keep the Minnesota Vikings offense on the sideline is the old tried and true, you run the football. Yep. We know about Chris Carson, but Rashad Penny,
his last game against
Philly, yeah. 129 yards, 14 carries, and he got the opportunity because Chris Carson had another lost fumble. So therefore, Brian Schottenheimer, the running back, the offensive coordinator, is going to ride the hot hand. Don't forget, Penny was the first-round pick in 2018, and Carson was like the seventh-round pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, Penny, all 238 pounds of him, who has some speed, he is somebody to watch.
Well, the Seahawks, by the way, have won the last five meetings between these two teams, and we talked about Kirk Cousins having never won on Monday night. I feel like we make too much about that, but
it's been a lot of things for Kirk this year that he is actually torn down by winning games.
After trailing early, the Steelers fall back and beat the Browns. The final tally 20-13. Pittsburgh improves to 7-5. The Browns drop to 5-7, and it keeps the Steelers in the playoff hunt with four regular season games remaining. Here's Mike Tomlin.
We weren't concerned about it, to be quite honest with you. We were about beating them today. That's how you deal with some of that stuff, you beat them.
The T-shirt didn't have anything to do with us at the minus one moving out. I wore a T-shirt. I wore a jacket with it. My daughters wanted me to wear the shirt, and I'd wear it again. I put a jacket on. I covered it up. I took a picture with a fan. That was as simple as that, T-shirt didn't cause us to give up 40-yard passes, and we were ready to play. That's the only thing people need to be concerned about. We were ready to play.
You just don't see that from upper management. And we all got to grow as professionals in some sense. And I'm glad Coach T doesn't do anything like that.
Well, obviously, those questions and answers were about the T-shirts, the incident that happened a few weeks ago, and you saw the T-shirt Freddie Kitchens had on. That is probably, I would guess, as we say hello to Mike Tannenbaum, the least of his concerns. But we'll start. We're going to go rapid fire here with these overreactions on Overreaction Monday. Kitchens, Mike, one and done in Cleveland.
Unfortunately, that's not an overreaction. When you assess the impact of a head coach, the first two things I look at are turnovers and penalties. 31st and 22nd in the league. This is not a disciplined team. It's not a well-coached team. This will test the mental toughness of Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, in terms of looking at the process they went through when they hired Coach Kitchens to hang in there. But based on how they've played and the expectations, unfortunately, it's not an overreaction to consider him being one and done.
Wow, how quickly things change.
Well, one thing you got to remember about Jimmy Haslam, the Browns owner, he came from the Steelers as a minority owner and really went to Cleveland with the intent to have it as his model. And it just hasn't worked out that way in terms of stability with the head coach or in the way you run and conduct yourself as an organization.
Wait, so what Pittsburgh did start it then?
Oh.
He's just in the mood to stir the pot today. Too much family time for Tim.
They started in both.
Yeah, and look, it is what it is, as he said. All right, listen, Ryan, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts because I know what I think here. Mike Tomlin is Coach of the Year.
This is not an overreaction, and I understand how people see Coach of the Year. A lot of times they look at the final record or they look at how a team finishes the season and where they rank in the standings. But this team, with no Ben Roethlisberger, already losing Antonio Brown, James Conner has been in and out, to make a move.
Juju Smith-Schuster
is out, to make a move to get Minkah Fitzpatrick and then change the way you play defense that's allowed them to create more turnovers than anyone in the league, to get those turnovers and turn them into points, and also play with a quarterback who is now your starting quarterback, who was fourth on the depth chart during fall camp, to do these things, to continue winning, but also to conduct yourself in a way that each and every week this team looks prepared to play, I think is a huge nod and a huge notch for Coach Tomlin.
I have a vote on that thing. I can tell you he's way up near the list. Yeah, you're
he's
not.
Near the list. He's not on the list?
No.
Or he's near the top of the list?
Near the top.
Hey, can we get Tim off the show?
I would say this, if I had to cast it today,
I probably would cast it for Mike Tomlin.
I kind of want to skip the next one because it's Tim, but I guess I won't. Overreaction Monday, Eagles are more disappointing than the Rams, Timothy.
I think in order to have a disappointment, you have to have some expectation
than
that something was going to happen. I knew where you were going. And the reality is that I think there were a lot of people that didn't think the Browns were going to be good. Yeah, they assembled all this talent, but I think the concerns at quarterback, head coach, some of the concerns with the quarterback and some of the other parts of that football team were different. Now, for the Eagles, yeah, Super Bowl winning coach. You've got a quarterback that people think was an MVP candidate. I think the expectation for the Eagles was so much higher that, yeah, it's a division that should be wide open, and they're just kind of hanging around in it with the Dallas Cowboys. So, yeah, I think it's been the Eagles, the more disappointing season, based on what probably, you know, more people's expectation of the team was.
Do you think the loss to the Dolphins makes it that much worse, though, Mike?
I do, but if I'm Doug Peterson, I say, as bad as we played, we have a month to get it right. We got a couple pieces back. That was a devastating loss, but they could still accomplish what they want this year.
And then, of course, you get in the tournament, anything's possible. All right, Overreaction Monday continues. Mort, this is you. Phillip Rivers' era is over.
With the Chargers.
Correct.
Not an overreaction. When you go into a week like the Chargers did this past week before this Denver Broncos game, and you know that Tyrod Taylor, backup quarterback, got more reps than he had been, and that Phillip had thrown multiple interceptions, and he did throw one early in the red zone, then Anthony Lynn, the coach, was prepared to put Tyrod Taylor in. He doesn't have a contract for the next year. It's an ownership decision because he looms large in their team history, franchise history. They're moving into the new stadium next year as well. But I believe they will move on.
Two names to keep an eye on there, Tyrod Taylor and fifth-round pick Easton Stick. If I'm the Chargers, I want to know, can I win with either of those two guys long-term? And as disappointing as the season's been, I at least want to know what I have in those two guys.
Easton Stick was Carson Wentz's backup in college.
Wow.
Played when Carson Wentz was still there and was out with wrist injury. And basically won, and there was very little drop-off in terms of production, if any, when he took over as a freshman for him. He's actually a pretty good player.
And at some point, you have to know what's next. It may be that time. All right, we know Gardner Minshew will start week 14 against the Chargers. Gardner Minshew should start the rest of the season. Is that an overreaction?
I don't think it's an overreaction. And I look at guys like Ryan and Tim as former players. Ultimately, your audience is the locker room, and the players know, and you just go by what you see, as Coach Parcells would say. Gardner Minshew, 4-4 as a starter. Nick Foles, remarkably 0-4. This was a guy that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I was really big on Jacksonville, basically because they had signed Nick Foles. He's just been a disappointment. Gardner Minshew's been a better player. He's brought energy. Every meaningful statistic would bring it back, but would back that up. But when you watch him play, Minshew's been the better player, brought a lot more energy to the team.
Do you agree, as Tim said earlier, that this means they will move on from Nick Foles?
Well, I think we'll know a lot more in another 4 weeks, but certainly the writing's on the wall.
They're $50 million in guaranteed money.
Wow.
Well, I think depending on Doug Marone's still a coach there, whatever, big impact.
Yeah.
Fair enough. The Rams have a playoff rally left in them.
You know,
Ryan.
I don't believe so. I believe this is an overreaction. And the reason I believe that, this team's going to have to play the Cowboys, they're going to play the 49ers, and they're going to play the Seahawks. All teams that are in the playoff hunts actually have spots if the playoffs started today. And I believe that those teams are just better. Obviously, we watched this offense get on track yesterday, but it was against the Arizona Cardinals. They ranked near the bottom in most statistical categories defensively and 32nd against the pass, which is why Jared Goff went off yesterday. And so when you look at this team and some of the deficiencies they have in the offensive line and running the ball and what Jared Goff has been without those two things playing well, I don't believe that this team makes a playoff run.
Not an overreaction. Okay. How about this then? We'll talk about Denver for a minute. Overreaction Monday. The Broncos have found the quarterback of the future, and by that I mean Drew Lock.
I'm gonna say this is an overreaction because he's played one game as a starter, but I would just kind of couch it this way. Coming into this year's draft, because of the, I think he had 45 starts or something like that, because of his experience playing in the SEC, how many starts he had, how much experience he had, there were teams that thought that had a first-round grade on him. Thought he was a first-round caliber.
As Mike Tannenbaum raises his hand.
Quarterback. Yeah, and listen, I don't disagree with you, Mike. His tape in college is really impressive. I think the head-scratching thing was he was awful in the preseason. But he played in his first regular season start the way that I would have expected him to come out of the gates playing in the preseason.
So you're on the fence, is bottom line.
So what I'm saying is this. No, I think the fact that you have a guy week 13 and your team hadn't been playing well, that you put in the lineup and he plays well and honestly looked like a starter as a rookie, I think you have a chance for him to be the guy. It's just a little too soon.
We're going to call that a maybe. All right. Sure. Which is setting the fence, Mort. You're right. Adam Vinatieri should retire.
It's an asterisk.
I almost feel I'm not worthy of answering this question, but I'm going to say not an overreaction. The reason why is Adam Vinatieri, in my mind, is a Hall of Famer, and it should be his decision, and it will be his decision. And they had special teams problems, not just Adam Vinatieri problems.
Yes.
But there's been a couple times where they tried out a total of 10 kickers this year. But his leadership inside the locker room is so strong, and he doesn't miss in practice for the most part. But I think Adam Vinatieri will retire as opposed to me saying he should retire. I believe it's that time.
Man, the hard part is in trying to make this decision during the season when you bring people in on Tuesday to kick, they're just not Adam Vinatieri. They don't have the history that he has. They don't have the big kicks on the resume that Adam Vinatieri has. And I agree with Mark. Mort, it's hard for us to even sit here and say he should retire.
Right.
And I'm sure it's hard for Frank Wright and that coaching staff and that organization to say that we can just get him out of this building because he's not playing well this season.
Yeah, exactly. It should be his, but he'll walk into the Hall of Fame. But it's also hard to watch at times because he's been so phenomenal.
And that's why it just goes to show you how big confidence is. I don't care what you're doing.
But
to Mort's point, like when you go back to the game yesterday, a couple of those kicks, you know, they would have been blocked regardless of who the kicker was.
Right.
Mike Tannenbaum?
Yeah.
Thank you. Always good to see you on Mondays. We'll see you soon. Our Week 13 Monday night matchup between two of the NFC's best, Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook and the Vikings, face Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Our coverage begins with Monday night countdown at 6. Here's Lisa Salters again with a team report.
Hey, Wendy. Well, the bright lights of Monday Night Football have treated these two quarterbacks playing tonight very differently. Russell Wilson loves them. He's 8-2 on Monday nights. He told us his mentality doesn't necessarily change for primetime games, but he did admit, I do like to see the ball spinning at night. It reminds me of high school. Wilson is making a strong case for league MVP with 24 touchdown passes and just 3 interceptions, but Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins, who has 21 TD passes, also with just 3 picks, hasn't gotten the same MVP buzz. And on Monday nights, Cousins is winless, 0-7, with 6 of those losses coming when he was with Washington. Cousins told us it sure would be nice to get this one tonight. You don't play cupcakes on Monday nights, he said, so I know I have to go out there and earn it. Wendy?
Lisa, thank you. That is for sure. More Overreaction Monday. We talked a little bit about Tom Brady and that Patriots offense earlier. How about this one? Patriots need home field advantage to win the Super Bowl. Mort, we'll start with you. Is that an overreaction?
It's not an overreaction. I think that this particular team needs home field advantage, and yet I still think the Baltimore Ravens could go in there and win in New England. But I think of all the teams I've seen of the Patriots, teams that can win on the road, and we saw it last year in the playoffs, this team needs home field advantage.
You know what, I think this is an overreaction, and the reason I believe it's an overreaction is because history has just told me to not bet against this team. And the one thing we spoke about with the 49ers was that defense travels and also running game. This team doesn't have as good of a running game, but we've seen this defense be elite. And if you give Bill Belichick one opportunity to scheme for one team to beat them in 1 week. I often believe that he can come up with a plan that allows this team to play well. And I think that Tom Brady finds ways to make some plays late in games if they need to on the road. And so if any team in this playoff picture to me in the AFC doesn't need home field advantage, I will say is this team because of the experience at the coaching level and also a quarterback that understands what it takes to win on the road in big games.
Yeah, it's an overreaction for me. You said because of history, the more I understand, you know, every team each year is different, but we've gone to the Super Bowl three different times with having to go on the road and win a game on the road. And it was last year too, wasn't it?
Kansas City Chiefs. So,
exactly.
You know, are they better in Foxborough? Yeah, their record in Foxborough is ridiculously good. But they are good enough to go on the road, and their defense is probably better than their defense was a year ago. And so if their offense isn't, which it actually might be by the time, remember, I mean, we could be talking about a game 5 weeks from now, which would be a month from now. Things could look drastically different. So I just think that they're good enough because they can be good in all three phases. They definitely are good in two.
Yeah.
And they have a very good coach and a quarterback that is not going to wilt in a big moment on the road in a hostile crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think we've seen it.
Aren't they playing the Chiefs this week?
Yeah.
Where are they playing it at?
I didn't look at the schedule.
It's Foxborough. They're playing in Foxborough.
I'm looking forward to this game. I know it's not the playoffs, but it is a playoff game in some
ways. Well, and I think all teams approach the New England Patriots in that manner, especially if you're an AFC team. You want to measure yourself up against the team that's totally dominated the conference. Mm-hmm. And so when you see the Baltimore Ravens play them, who I think have played them well throughout history, and they get that win, they say, okay, we can go to Foxborough, we can beat this team. I think the same for the Houston Texans, and the Kansas City Chiefs will be looking to do that as well. So every week they need to bring their best.
Yep.
All right, again, so the two good teams, Chiefs and Patriots next week, it will be a litmus test. How about this? We talked a lot about Kyle Allen. We talked a lot about Cam Newton. Overreaction Monday. The Panthers should keep Cam Newton. Is that an overreaction, Ryan?
This is not an overreaction to me. And I think, you know, it's kind of going back and forth this year because you point to things that have to do with the business of football as well and the type of money that Cam Newton is owed. But we've seen throughout these last few weeks, it's not the interception list Kyle Allen. It's not the guy who people or who we were starting to think could be the franchise quarterback. There are some cracks in his game. There are some deficiencies from an athletic standpoint that we are starting to see. And I don't necessarily think it's on the Gardner Minshew level. This was a guy who was a highly recruited guy out of high school, so he has some talent. Jordan Palmer, who trains quarterbacks, has said that he was one of the best he had during the year. He had Josh Allen and some of these other guys. But still, we're seeing some of these things show up. Some of the decision-making isn't as crisp as it was before. And so now you start to think, man, if we do get Cam Newton back close to what he was at his MVP form, is he a better quarterback for us and this team to be better?
I'll say it's not an overreaction, and I don't think it's tied as closely to Kyle Allen because I think it's tied closer to the fact that there's probably going to be a new head coach there. I mean, I think that that's kind of the general feeling that it's heading that direction. And so if you are a new coach coming in, you would at least want to figure out, okay, we have 1 year left on Cam's deal. So rather than trading Cam for pennies on the dollar, quite honestly, figure out, all right, well, like, where is the shoulder that he had surgery on? And where is
the foot?
Like,
okay.
In the foot. Like, so now at that point, like, let me see. If I then want to move on from him before the start of the season, do it then.
I do have this question for you, Tim. A few weeks ago, we were on here and you were singing a different tune, and that tune was different because Kyle Allen was playing better, and this team was undefeated under.
He's calling you out, basically.
and so now to say that it's not the reason you're going to have a new coach is because Kyle Allen isn't playing that way anymore.
No, the reason you're going to have a new coach is because your franchise quarterback is hurt and didn't play. You know what I mean? Like the reason
is
you're
David
playing
Tepper
your backup.
Was going to give Ron Rivera a year, sort of sat tight, or he's made reference to the fact that they're making changes.
Is that Cam at 20? $20 million, okay, is not prohibitive to keeping both guys.
No, the cap's going to be about $200 million,
and you have a free quarterback in Kyle Allen, so it's not prohibitive. What I was saying before about the decision to go with Kyle Allen or Cam Newton, because guess what, I haven't changed my tune in terms of okay, who could be the quarterback for them to build around in the future. The free quarterback is easier to build around,
right,
than the guy that's going to cost you $20 million, but you're going to have to sign him to a longer-term deal if you're going to continue to build around Cam, which would pay him 30 or more a year. So what I'm saying is those guys can't be evaluated the same because they don't cost the same. It's no different than the Dak Prescott, Tony Romo situation. Tony was probably still a better player when Dak took over, but he
cost himself out
2,000% more, you know?
And the reason you mentioned Dave Pepper, he's the owner of the Panthers, and he himself stated a couple weeks ago, I'm not going to settle for mediocrity. That's why we think Ron Rivera won't be there. But I think Ron Rivera will be one of the first coaches hired in the hiring cycle. But yes, that's
but the tea leaves in Carolina say they are headed probably. But,
and if you have a new coach, a quarterback like him, listen, there's the positive side of it. He's been to a Super Bowl, been a league MVP, but he hasn't played well in the last 2 years.
Right, but he's been hurt those years. What if he goes in healthy? Want to find that out.
That's a big what if. You better find it out. He has a $21 million cap hit next year. We talked about that, so they could save $19 million. If he were to be released, Cam Newton, that is. New on NFL Live from our Lions reporter, Michael Rothstein. The Lions will be placing tight end T.J. Hockenson on injured reserve this week. He injured his ankle late against Chicago on Thursday and was spotted by the Detroit Free Press on a foot scooter after the game, which is typically not a good sign. We say hello now to Mort. He is in the Domino's pregame HQ, the latest Mort report, and we'll start with the Giants. 2-10. There's been a lot of questions. What can you tell us about Pat Shurmur's status?
Yeah, and Pat Shurmur, the head coach of the Giants, was asked specifically by the Giants media, those who follow the team, about his status and is he aware of it? And he said, yeah, I'm aware of it. I understand that, you know, you got to win games and people are talking about, you know, my security and what have you. And what you hear around the Giants building is pretty glum. And the owners, John Mara and Steve Tisch, they're not happy. They're looking in the stands, empty stands. You can say, well, it's weather. I guarantee if they were playing were in contention, those seats would be filled. Now, people are comparing him to Ben McAdoo, and how McAdoo got fired into two years, because he went to the playoffs that first year. But they had just spent $200 million in free agents to replace the problems that they had and justify them firing Tom Coughlin. So I do think it's one that we're going to be watching. It's a disappointing season from the win-loss record. They lost eight in a row.
Eight in a row, and that just is what it is in the National Football League. As we move to another NFC East team that has struggles, Eagles head coach Doug Marrone said, I'm disgusted, I'm mad, I'm angry, and I'm probably more so mad at myself. That was this morning on the radio. I think the question here is, what is owner Jeffrey Lurie saying?
Well, last week's game against the Seahawks, everybody was upset. But they didn't have their right guard, their right tackle. They didn't have three receivers in that game. And they still don't have their lead running back, Jordan Howard. But this game, going down to Miami and losing to the Dolphins and blowing a two-touchdown lead in the second half is not the way to keep Jeffrey Lurie, their owner, comfortable. He is known, even when Andy Reid was coaching, at some point he's going to hold you accountable. So the expectations, and I could say assumption, that Jeffrey Lurie is going to hold not Doug Peterson accountable, but I would say more so for making significant changes on his staff. I'm not reporting that he's going to, but the assumption knowing Jeffrey Lurie's history is that I'm quiet now, but there will be a reckoning. I think there's a reckoning coming unless they get to the playoffs and win deep.
Which they could, but they do have a difficult stretch ahead. Yeah. A team, though, that finally got what they wanted, and that's the Bengals, because they get their first win last night. Andy Dalton as the starter. More back and forth, and we've got one win, and we've got quarterback questions. How did we get here?
You know, Andy Dalton, first of all, played Sunday like his hair was on fire. And you know what?
I mean, that might not be a bad thing.
Great emotion, great intensity. He surpassed Kenny Anderson, the Bengals' all-time great quarterback with some records, along with Boomer Esiason. And here's the thing about it. It showed you that losing, and we talked about it last week, being winless is no fun in this league. And so when Zach Taylor, the head coach, went back to Andy Dalton, you could tell, took that benching personally by the way he showed his emotions yesterday. And people may think, hey, they're moving on no matter what. We think he's part of, you know, he'll be out in free agency. He actually has a year left on his contract at $17.5 million. So don't be surprised if Andy Dalton may get to extend his career in Cincinnati, even if he wants to move on.
All right, stranger things have happened. The Colts took a tough loss last night against the Titans. But the question I will ask you, does the team see Jacoby Brissett as the long-term answer in Indy at the quarterback spot?
They gave him a two-year contract. So this is the first of those 2 years. So that tells you it's not long-term. It's they are hoping. They love him. He's a great leader. Does he have all the goods it takes to be a Super Bowl champion? Because that's the only measure. That's the only measuring stick there is. So, no, he's not necessarily, he's not the franchise quarterback, even though they're hoping for it. And they are looking at college quarterbacks, and they will look at that free agent class if this doesn't look right at the end of the year.
Yeah, so jury's still out, we'll say.
Yes.
Okay, that's the way we'll do it, Mort. Thank you. NFC East, meanwhile, has had its share of struggles. Understatement. The four teams have combined to win just a third of their games this season, with the Cowboys leading the way at 6-6. That would be the worst winning percentage by a division since the current eight-division format began back in 2002. But the silver lining is all three division winners on this list won a playoff game. So, it is, after all, Overreaction Monday. So, the NFC East, Mort, is the worst division ever.
Overreaction, and I now will yield the floor to the senator from Tennessee to explain why.
This is an overreaction because the 2014 NFC South, a team that won it in the Carolina Panthers at 7-8-1. Okay, 7-8-1 won the division. The New Orleans Saints were 7-9. The Atlanta Falcons were 6-10. And oh, by the way,
Bucks.
The Tampa Bay Bucks, they were 2-14. That was a really, really bad division. Three of those teams gave up over 400 points that season.
So okay? What you're saying is they
weren't. What I'm saying is listen, it's been the NFC least this year for sure. Okay,
Did you come up with that?
I've heard it a few times.
I know you have.
Not that creative. However, with that being said, look, they haven't been good, but we're going to see a team get to 8 wins for sure. You know, we're probably going to see a team, you know, maybe see a team get to 9 wins. And so, like, and by the way, when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, and you consider some of the teams that have won divisions before.
Yeah, 2011 Broncos team.
That's right.
And they went to the Pittsburgh.
And by the way, the 7-9 Seahawks.
Oh, you know anybody on that team?
My brother was on that team. Charlie Whitehurst helped them get there. However, they did win a playoff game as well.
They beat the Saints, didn't they?
The Saints.
Yeah, they beat the Saints. Mm-hmm. I think this is an overreaction, but not by a lot. Like, this division is really terrible. And it's not even an asterisk. Like, I know sometimes more to say that. Like, this division is bad. And it's bad because the two teams that are trying to not win it, they're bad. But the other two teams are two of the worst teams in the NFL. And so when you look at this division, you say to yourself, when you're comparing it to other divisions in the NFL, you would love to be the Rams and get to be in the NFC East. You would love to be the Pittsburgh Steelers and be in the NFC East. And that's how bad this division has been this year. And when you have the expectations that the Dallas Cowboys had coming into this year and the Philadelphia Eagles, you have to play better, you have to execute better, and there are going to be some changes even if they aren't at the head coaching position because they understand these teams have to do more.
Even though the NFC itself, the conference, is stronger than the AFC, the winner of this division, be it the Cowboys or the Eagles, which means they would have momentum, whoever's facing them in the first round of the playoffs will not be comfortable playing that team.
That's exactly what I was going to say. When you think about seeing both of those teams, and then, Ryan, you're right. When you watch them, look at what the Cowboys did on Thanksgiving. At this past week in the Eagles against the Dolphins. It's like, man, with that being said, I agree with you, Mort. You get one of those teams at home with that talent, good quarterback play, I don't think anyone's going to feel comfortable with that. And I think both those teams are good enough to win more than one playoff game.
No, that's the scary part, though. Like, you're sitting on this side of it, and you're expecting these teams to be better. That's the frustration that Jerry Jones has. He is saying to himself, I know what this team is capable of being, but the product that we're putting on the field each and every week isn't adding up to that. And after a while, it becomes who they are. And that's what we're seeing from these teams. But I agree with you guys. I'm not going to want to go to Dallas or go to Philadelphia in January and think I'm going to walk out of there with a win just because I show up.
I think it would be unwise to look past those teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
But poor Jerry, he had a tough Thanksgiving. Wasn't his day, Mort. He didn't
And Jason Garrett just clapped the whole way through.
Well,
the mad clapper.
What else can you do? FBI, by the way, gives the Cowboys a 70% chance to win their division. So somebody will have to win, so we're told. Right now, we turn our attention to the sounds of Week 13.
Big truss. And I'll open it up for questions.
The goat. We got that golden leg.
It is good! A game-winning 49-yard field goal for Justin Tucker.
Tuck is the goat. He's Otto Matt Tuck.
How do I feel? I can't even describe it.
We had an interception that we felt we did intercept that was turned over by the Wizard of Oz or somebody. I don't know what happened on that.
A lot of crazier things have happened.
I don't know how to answer that question. That's a weird question.
Yeah, if I had that answer, we wouldn't be in this position.
Well, all I know is I told James after the game that we're going to duck hunting Tuesday, just like last Tuesday.
You can stop filming now. My hands are fine.
Yeah, old man, you know, creaky body, 9 years.
My daughters wanted me to wear the shirt, and I'd wear it again.
I just broke the arm tackle, and, you know, he was the first guy there, you know, and my first instinct is just like, you know, punch him and see what's up. You know? Or strike, whatever y'all want to say.
He didn't kill us.
I'll give myself a 10. 1 out of 10. One, 11 maybe.
Hands off to Johnson. Now to Hop right side, who puts the ball to Watson, diving for the pylon, and he's got it. Razzle dazzle.
I think they drew that one up in the dirt over the bye week, and they brought it in, and they had it on a piece of notebook paper, and they handed it to me.
That's dismissed.
I really like salty Tom Brady.
Me too.
He's my favorite Tom.
Yes.
I like Mark Ingram, the PR guy. You know, if it's not for Lamar, it's for Ted. I want to.
You know what's crazy about Lamar Ingram? You know who looks like they're having a lot less fun? Mark Ingram. Alvin Kamara looks like he's having a lot less fun in New Orleans right now without that guy.
I would agree with you. They were a good pair. All right, Mort, we've got a game to play tonight. What can you tell us that we don't know about Monday Night Football?
The one player that gave the Seahawks coaching staff sleepless nights was watching Vikings defensive end Danielle Hunter. So, yeah, Russell Wilson may not get caught all the time, but he may be chasing them.
From?
LSU.
We're everywhere.
Clark. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are
including
everywhere.
Including getting blocked by quarterbacks. They're everywhere.
They are. They're like gremlins. Goff, they multiply. Like, all right. Mr. LSU, RC.
I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. The score is going to be 27-17. I think this defense continues to play well. The running back step up as they did last week, and Russell Wilson is obviously Russell Wilson.
What did we say? Kirk Cousins was 0-7 on Monday Night Football?
That's right. We did. 0-8?
No, he's going
to. And I'm a Kirk Cousins believer.
Oh, no, he's not.
Seattle Seahawks in that building. That team, Russell Wilson. Close game, though, 23-20.
I'm not betting against Russell Wilson at home. I don't like to agree with you two, but I'm going to have to.
I believe we've been right this week.
You actually
this way.
Yeah, we have. I know, but I think they're right. 27-21. There, I said it. I think they're right.